coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to what feels like it's been forever since we've done a Hey Kids Comics, but to Hey Kids Comics, I'm Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
I am here. Yes, indeed.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. The universe has conspired against us.
On a constant.
Issue. Yes, yes, but we are here. We beat it.
What we get for finishing an arc.
Right? It wants a break. The universe wants a break.
We're not going to let that discourage us from future arcs, but damn. Do us a favor.
Get off my dick, universe. Yeah. Let me record a show. Ah, God. So, yeah, let's talk about the arc for a second. We finished it up. How does it feel, Cole? We beat another topic.
We did. We beat it into the ground and then some. And that was an amazing topic and a lot of fun. Perhaps one of the most satisfying in a while.
I think so.
Just because it was such an interesting exploration.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was. That is true. Like, we were saying, with certain families of these, we could have done a story arc on that family alone. So I feel like there were some that we didn't get to do justice, but I think that that's just the case in a lot of our topics.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens to a lot of guys.
Well, we found ourselves on the cusp of a very important show. I like the fact that we're doing this show this close to 300. I feel like if our wits were about us and we weren't so slippery from the embryonic fluid of just starting a new show back in the teens, that this might have been a topic that we could have done then. But again, you know, we had just cut the umbilical cord.
Yes, indeed. And I think it's odd that this one didn't occur to us before it did.
Yeah.
Because it's such a rich and diverse topic with a lot of history.
Well, and here's a little backstory that I don't even think that Cole knows, is part of the reason that we have this show is because of our topic tonight. and that topic is, Cole, do you want to tell them what the topic is?
This is our What If episode.
Ah, yes.
Finally.
Damn it, I'm so good. Yes, and we are talking about What If Comics, Marvel's seminal What If. But we wouldn't necessarily have this show in the form that we have it if it weren't for What If Comics. So way back in the day, God knows, how many years ago did we start this now, Cole?
7 or 8 or 9 or 10.
Okay, that narrows it down.
It's one of those.
I think if we do the math, what's 52 divided by 285? I don't know what that is. We need an intern. I can't do that kind of math.
Yeah, and even then, it's not consistent.
So right at 6 years. Let's call it 6 years. I think 6 years is probably about right. But I think – so what – the backstory here is I approached Cole and said, I want to do this type of show. And Cole, of course, being Cole, took it and ran with it. and you know, really, really kind of – I knew that the show was in the granite, and Cole chiseled it out is what ended up happening. You know?
Yeah, I could see what wasn't a show.
Right. You could see the show in the granite. But conceptually, this show would not exist the way it does if it weren't for What If Comics. Because I got Martha'd. But you came up with a better term for this, which is being Trevored.
Yes, you were definitely Trevored on this one.
Which is in reference to, of course, Ben Kingsley's 5-star performance in Iron Man 3. Suck it, everybody. Y'all can bite me. It's the best Marvel movie. But I was reading an issue. We were doing a show, and the show was good. We enjoyed doing it, but there were a lot of things that we weren't covering, and I couldn't quite wrap my head around what those things were. Yes. I was reading an issue of, as I often do, dig through my old comics and just read issues, and I was reading an issue of What If. It was What If Dr. Doom Became a Hero was the issue I was reading, and the whole, you know, conceptually the whole idea was, okay, here's this, what we assume is this fixed point in time, right? What happens if a different decision is made? What's the path? What happens? Where do we end up? And I'm like, this is the show I want to do. I want to do a show about all of these things, about all these concepts, about all these ideas. So that's what I laid on Cole. That was my pitch to Cole. And Cole's like, all right, we can do that. Here's how we do it. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's do it. But yeah, if it weren't for What If, this show would not be where it is at 200 and I think 86 issues now. So we have a large debt to What If, and that snuck up on me. Didn't even realize it until, because it was so close to the zeitgeist that we never got it. But here we are, and I'm very, very excited to be doing this show. So Cole, what is What If Comics for those of us that don't know?
Well, What If was an interesting concept in that the way I always saw it, it was Marvel's, like, let's take some classic stories that everyone knows and turn them on their ear. And essentially they posited the question, what if every issue, like, what if, God, I have to think a second about, so was there one where Peter Parker didn't get bitten by a radioactive spider?
Yes, there are actually a few of those. What if, yeah, somebody else got bitten? Or
exactly.
What if Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive, or what if a spider was bitten by a radioactive man? I think it was one of them later, which was super weird. But yes, okay. Don't ask. Don't ask. But yes, indeed. It's those fixed points in time that we all look at as a, you know, if it was DC, it would be like, what if you bunch of assholes hadn't called in and voted for Jason Todd to die and instead he lived? You know, those are the
big, yes, exactly,
the big moments, the big ones. That's what we talk about.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I always took it to be Marvel making the editorial mandate to, you know, as to what stories were explored. And you kind of Marthed me on this.
I did, and it's super exciting. I found some really cool stuff that even I didn't know. You know, so What If ran from 77 to 84 in its first 47. And that's the one, those are the ones I'm really, really familiar with. That's the classics for me came out of that run. Like I said, what if Dr. Doom was a hero? What if the Punisher's, family would have lived came out of that. You know, there are so many,
what if, there was like, what if, Rob Liefeld could draw feet?
Oh, that was later. Yeah.
Much, much later. He wasn't even born yet, but still.
I think it was what if, Larry Hama couldn't draw feet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, what if one of the seminal classics, and we'll get into a few of these, but, you know, what if the original Marvel bullpen was the Fantastic Four? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we talked about that at one point.
Because they're just – and I think that's an important point to make, right, is that Marvel enjoyed making these as much as I enjoyed reading them. Because I think it was a chance to – keep in mind, also, there's so much going on here, but keep in mind that we didn't have the internet. We didn't have fan fiction. We didn't have a lot of what we take for granted today. This was – there wasn't a – when did Crisis hit?
Crisis was early 80s.
Okay.
Like about 83 or something, if memory serves. I mean, I could look it up, but Marvel. Then it takes away the organic feel. But yeah, this was sort of like exploring a lot of possibilities,
mm-hmm.
writ small.
Well, there weren't multiple Earths. There wasn't an Earth 616 and an Earth whatever and an Earth 2491 and an Ultimates universe and this and that. What they invented, and I think that this is something that needs to be reestablished, was a way to explore these things professionally. Not in the conversations that you have at the bar or at the convention, you know, or even in the bullpen, I'm sure, for Marvel. But you had a way to professionally explore these ideas without throwing the entire comic book continuity that you're writing for into a giant tailspin.
Yeah, this would be like, okay, let me give you by way of example, something that never happened, but probably would have been better served as a what if.
That's a good, yeah, that should be a show in and of itself.
Yeah, and that would be the Secret War, whatever, Secret Invasion.
Yes.
What if the Skrulls, you know, had kidnapped all the heroes? You know, that's where that belonged, not in real continuity.
Right. What if General Thunderbolt Ross became the Red Hulk? What if, you know, there are a million of these points at which now you can go back and say, what if they didn't? What if the Skrulls hadn't invaded? But
yeah, now that it's too late.
But you're 1,000% right. You could have kept a continuity going. You wouldn't have had to relaunch Marvel 17 times. If you would have spun these what-ifs out and just told your stories, make them giant what-if events, you know, it would have been fine. But they figured that out very early on, is there is a demand for these quantum threads to be explored, and this is the way we do it. We say, and we call it what it is, what if this happened? Because I'm sure that at conventions and, you know, in letters that they were getting and whatever it might be, they got sick of seeing, well, what if Gwen Stacy had lived? What would that have, you know?
Yeah, you know, if you hadn't killed Gwen Stacy, think of all the possibilities. Spider-Gwen. Right. No one would have even seen that coming.
But, you know, it's leave a comment on a comic book resources post that, you know, lick my balls, waka waka waka, you suck, whatever.
Well, yeah, it becomes you can't help but wonder, was there a letter-writing flame war at all?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't feel like that there was, but let's get into something you had talked about earlier, which is that this was one of the first, if not the first, major, I'll say the first major interactive comic book. Because if you search long enough, and if you go into the back and look at what was the bullpen bulletin or the letters page, which, God, I wish we still had a letters page in comics.
Oh, God, those were the days, man.
You'll see in the back where these where people had written in to Marvel with what-if suggestions that Marvel would turn around and use in some of their work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it pretty much became the sort of thing of, like, if you suggest it, it's ours.
So, like, for instance, T.M. Maple of Toronto, Canada, and I don't have a date on when this was, but I guarantee you it's sometime in the 80s. What if Aunt May had remained married to Dr. Octopus? Eddie would have been ecstatic. That's what would have happened. What if Dracula had renounced his evil ways? What if the Watcher had never broken his oath? That's actually a really damn good one.
Yeah, because for one thing, it undermines what if.
Because the Watcher was the stalwart Heimdall of the what if universe. That's
exactly
That's
yeah, you know, he can't explore the what ifs if he's not going to break his oath and just simply observe.
That's a really good point on both sides. That's what I just said. And
that's the thing about, you know, the what if kind of argument, more often than not, is, you know, people are like, well, you know, if this happened in a movie or television show or what have you, it's like, well, then it wouldn't be much of a show, would it?
Possibly one of my favorite suggestions was from a guy named David Kessler. David, if you're listening and still alive, Thank you. What if Captain America were revived by the Guardians of the Galaxy? Now, remember, this wasn't your Guardians of the Galaxy. This was colonized Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
This was Charlie 27 and...
Yondu was originally... Nikki and...
Nikki. No. I hadn't thought about Nikki in a long time. Was Nikki in the movie?
No, Nikki was not. Martin X was in it. It was a mix of the new and old school.
Okay.
Because that, like, snake guy, or snake magician, snake sorcerer, whatever the hell, and some kind of computer played by Miley Cyrus.
I don't know what you're talking about right now. I really don't, but I want to know so bad. Like, what computer was played by Miley Cyrus?
Oh, it was like that computer, like, robot head that was just sitting there. It's like, oh, it's so good to see you guys again.
Are we talking about a movie or a comic
book? Oh, yeah. No, in the movie. But in the comics, apparently, there was some sort of, like, computer thing going on.
Oh, okay. But what's really interesting about this is it was to the point where they had to give rules of submission. And this, I think, is really interesting. They had to give rules of submission for people to submit their ideas to What If. This is how much they were enjoying the shit out of this. In my mind, it never occurred to me that they would take these submissions and make them into the actual stories that you would read.
I know. I didn't realize. I literally always thought that, you know... Somewhere in the bullpen, somebody said, okay, you know, what if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four, which was the very first.
Yeah.
Probably could have been inspired by fandom, but, you know, certainly was the very first what if to come out and pose that question. And I think that was a good way to lead into this because it becomes a very compelling question.
And I always thought it was – I really honestly, and this is going to sound really jaded of me, right? But I really always thought it was a group of probably writers and editors sitting in a room over lunch like, all right, you know, Stan wants us to get this done, so let's just run through this. You know, what are some ideas? Well, what if, you know, the blob was skinny? Well, that's stupid. Okay, what if, you know, and they would just – you write them on a chalkboard or on a notepad, and okay, well, let's find some writers and some artists to do this, and kind of, you know, they were just throwaways. I didn't, until I was actually researching this, I didn't realize how much Marvel and the writers and the artists in Marvel enjoyed this book and enjoyed the interaction. I'm just really happy I got to look into that. But some of the, so the suggestions are, you know, number one, don't give us a list of suggestions as long as the Bronx phone book. That is how I know this was based sometime between 77 and 80. list your absolute favorites. You cannot do what ifs on licensed products. Micronauts, Star Wars, Dennis the Menace. We can.
Okay, yeah. They weren't allowed to do, like, what if Luke Skywalker fought Iron Man?
Well,
it's like, save it for the internet, whatever that will be.
Yeah, you couldn't even do what if Ben Kenobi lived.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they couldn't even go within the continuities of their, yeah, what if the Micronauts didn't fight Man Thing?
Right, just because it's...
Really wouldn't have changed much of anything either direction.
Everything would have been the same. Make sure all your suggestions stem from actual – and I'm reading this straight out of the comic, by the way. Make sure all of your suggestions stem from actual events recorded in Marvel Comics. In other words, what if Magneto had won in X-Men 150? They could do that. What if Dr. Doom or Reed Richards' brothers? They would not do because it never, ever happened in comic.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. Like, yeah. I really like the fact that they're giving these people guidelines and saying – We want this. It isn't like, oh yeah, put your suggestions in, and then some intern somewhere is typing them into a letters page, and then, you know, he clocks out and goes home for the night. Don't base your suggestions. I like this one. Make sure your ideas are from blockbusters, not trifles. What if Henry Pym had become Yellowjacket before becoming Ant-Man? would not produce a reality that was all that different from the one that we have. There you go, Cole. There's your answer. And lastly, don't base your suggestions on very old or very obscure stories. So, sorry, Internet. What if Ant-Man had defeated... what if Ant-Man had been defeated by the Rebel Rouser? Keep them recent and well-known if possible. We want to do stories that a majority of our rollicking readers want to see. So, those are your rules. You are given rules to submit by, and they would choose them, which I thought was pretty interesting. What if Medusa had remained in the Frightful Four? That is a great question.
Yes, exactly.
Possibly the most now, what the question ever is, I'm sorry, no, what if Peter Parker turned to a life of crime after Uncle Ben's death? With great power comes great responsibility to steal that cash, dog.
Well, issue 14, I kid you not, was what if Sergeant Fury had fought World War II in outer space?
Which really isn't that far-fetched, though. I mean, really.
At what point do you move World War II into an extraterrestrial theater of combat?
Let's talk about some of... Okay, good. Let's talk about some of our favorites. Because there's some really good ideas in here. And I've read a bunch of them. Cole, besides that one, what's your favorite, man?
Well, my all-time favorite, you actually, by pure chance, used this.
Oh, did I?
As one of the, as the Facebook page.
Oh, did I?
And that was the silly issue, as it were.
Oh, the one with the watcher. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
The comedy issue was, because it was basically, there was no storyline that was, you know, it was just an anthology. It was just like everybody, you know, some of it was just a single panel. Like one of them was like, what if the thing was blue instead of orange? And it just showed him like crying, saying it's slobbering time.
Yeah, it was just like, it was, and we'll get into this later, but it was Himbeckian in its humor, you know, that which I think is really, really cool. No, I love that issue. I love that issue a lot. It's super fun.
Yeah, I mean, but what's amazing is so many things in What If, oddly enough, in the original What If, became canon things in weird ways.
Exactly, exactly.
Like, What if Jane Foster found the Hammer of Thor? Well, you know, that happens eventually.
And that's so cool, because I think that's what that tells us is there were a lot of comic fans reading What If. And I think some of those ideas stuck with us. There's a What If...
What if Gwen Stacy had lived?
There's another one. What if the Avengers had beat everybody? Had defeated all evil? Which is definitely explored, because everybody ends up in weird Iron Man armor. So it's like Scarlet Witch, Captain America, Iron Man, like Hawkeye flying around in weird Iron Man armor that he made for him, which has happened like 100 times.
Exactly.
But my favorite – go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean I get excited.
I have to point out, oddly enough, in a semi-unconnected way, one of the comedy What Ifs became a serious reality.
All right. I'm listening. Which one was it?
Okay, we need to look no further than one X-23.
Okay.
Okay. Girl Wolverine.
Yes.
Because one of the panels in this thing was what if Wolverine's claws were in his feet.
Really?
And lo and behold, decades later, what do we get? Foot Claw.
It's right. Old Foot Claw. Old Foot Claw. I love that. I love this comic. I have a ton of them still stored. There was one that was like, what if, and I need to look and see the actual titles of the ones that I have. I didn't have a chance to do that. But there was like one that was like, what if the Fantastic Four hadn't gotten their powers?
Yeah.
That was a good one. But my favorite one by far, do you want to guess? Do you want to guess what my favorite one was? I don't know if you're in depth with the lexicon of these enough, but there was one that for me really, really stood out.
Wow. I remember ones like, you know, what if Elektra had lived? Because that was a pressing question. People, yeah. Before Elektra Lives Again, which when I was working for Dime, we called Elektra Lesbian.
Oh, God.
What if Captain America was elected president?
That's great. That is great. Which kind of happened because he got put in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while. Issue 12 in 1990 of What If Season 2, which I wasn't a big fan of, but one of the books was my favorite. Issue 12, 1990, April. What if the X-Men had stayed in Asgard?
Oh, wow. Now that, yeah, I wasn't as familiar with the second, the volume 2 of the 80s, very late 80s to 90s, but... That, yeah, that whole X-Men and Asgard thing was so much fun that was a good one to explore. And I think I know why you didn't like the second volume that much.
Why?
Early on, some of the what-ifs weren't that great.
I imagine so. Do you want to hear something really funny?
Yeah, like, what if Daredevil had killed the Kingpin? I guess that had significance, but to me, it just, on the rack, as it were, it did not strike me as that. You know.
What's really funny is when we did our show on this, when we did our recommended reading, I confused some of the points from this What If with the actual comic book. Oh, that's so good. Like, I was looking back over it, and there's, like, what happens to Cypher, right? You know, he stays in Asgard. He becomes a vizier. There's Cannonball getting married to the Dwarf King's daughter. Mirage stays and becomes a Valkyrie. Nightcrawler becomes a swashbuckler and runs and took the place of Fandral. In the Warriors 3, Rogue sticks around because she has that, her powers get turned off. Storm becomes Thor. That happens. Like all of these things, the X-Men, it's really interesting that the X-Men then become, Karma is in the X-Men.
Yeah.
Magma and Shadowcat, like Wolverine and Cyclops, you know, Colossus, Phoenix, Angel, they become the X-Men. Wolfsbane sticks around, of course. Like this is just like my favorite. So you take my favorite comic book at the time, and then you say, well, what if they wouldn't have come back? And all of a sudden, it's like a whole nother comic book. Because the other really cool thing they did is because they loved it so much, they broke down and unpacked continuity in such a way, because you had the guys that were there when it happened, that they could take these little nuggets and kernels, almost the same reason that I love Grant Morrison, pull these ideas out and tie it back to the original with laser precision, that you could have swapped in that what if. It wasn't so nuts that you couldn't have taken it out. You could have swapped in that what if as if it actually happened.
That's true.
Which is very cool. So what else you got over there? What are some of your other favorites, weirdo?
Well, you know, just kind of looking over the full range of, like, some of them were just bizarre. Like, what if Dazzler had become the Herald of Galactus?
Which is...
Was it like... Did they have, like, Galactus doing the Saturday Night Fever pose on the cover? Because that would be just so very disco. And apparently there was a backup story. What if Iron Man was trapped in the time of King Arthur? Is that a thing?
By the way, it happened. That happened.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it did. Yeah, and that's the thing. What's fascinating about exploring what if is how much of it, like, what if Thor and the Avengers fought the gods?
Right. Like,
a lot of these were actually based on, like, Captain America being elected president was based on Captain America 250.
Right.
What if Phoenix had not died, which is an interesting one. You know, that's one.
Yeah, that turns the whole Marvel Universe on its head. Like that's not a little baby one. That's a big one. Like, what if Rick Jones had become the Hulk?
Yeah.
That's a really cool
That's one. An interesting one because he was there. He should have got something for the
for his troubles.
Yeah, and he just all it did was like give him a mega mullet or something. I think that there was no, you know, in the long run he didn't have to live as a pariah until was it Carter or Ford who pardoned him?
Ford? You mean after he went on the run as Nomad because he was
Pardoned the Hulk. I'm sorry.
Oh no, the Hulk. Yes. Yeah, no. Ford.
Ford pardoned him, yeah.
Ford pardoned the Hulk, yes.
It's pardoning everybody.
You get a
and what's interesting is, I guess this wasn't considered a license at the time, but what if Conan the Barbarian was stranded in the 20th century?
Yeah.
Based on nothing. No, I think it was actually based on...
Well, I don't think it was based on...
Oh, wow, I didn't know. What if the Invisible Girl had died in childbirth? Wow.
That can't be real. That can't be real, Cole.
Oh, it was. It was like, damn.
I didn't even know that one existed.
Dark. Yeah, it was issue 42, based on Fantastic Four Annual number 6, where I guess she must have nearly died in childbirth.
There are some other ones that were, and keep in mind, that's a good point to kind of spin out of, is these stories weren't always happy-go-lucky, super fun, you know, Marvel. You know, they got dark. Like, there was one that was, I remember it, that what if the Beast and the Thing had continued to mutate, had continued to become more less human over time, and the Beast becomes a monster, an animal. The more he would mutate, the more animalistic he would become, and he became an animal. And it was really sad. It was really sad. The opposite was true of Ben Grimm, where they figured out a way to make him back into Clobber and Ben, the good looking sports star, and Bill Foster took over as the fourth member. I guess Spider-Man was off planet, but took over as the fourth member of the Fantastic Four. But the Beast story was very, very sad. Like, these didn't shy away from taking it into some dark places because they chose not to in the comics. It also
absolutely.
It also and poses the question. Remember when Korvac was a thing?
Oh, good night.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. Hey, you remember Korvac? Remember when Korvac was a thing? All right. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Please go.
Oh, on. No, that's quite all right. I'm just kind of like, what if Doctor Strange were a disciple of Dormammu? There'd be no bargaining there.
I remember that. I really do. That's weird. I think I read that one. Also, keep in mind that, well, keep in mind, you don't have to keep it in mind.
Well, you should, though.
They are launching a new series of What If comics coming out next month.
Yeah, I saw you sent me some stuff about that.
Like, what if Spider-Man was the Punisher? They're doing it in a really interesting way where they're making it as if it was number one issues of an ongoing comic. So, for instance, like, What If Spider-Man Was the Punisher? I picks up sort of as a number one, where he, you know, he's the Punisher. They have one based on magic, the character, Ilyana Rasputin.
That's right.
One about Ghost Rider, one about Thor, one about X-Men, which is really cool. Like, they got all these cool ones coming. All right, they got all these cool ones.
It will be interesting to see if they embrace the concept the way it was back then, because like you said, they didn't shy away from taking these stories in directions that were kind of frightening. And then, you know, you talked about, you know, we can't do what ifs on Star Wars or Micronauts or you know, God forbid, the Shogun Warriors, Crystar.
God damn it, don't dangle that in front of me, you
Sectars.
Son of a bitch. I got my leather, my silken black glove on, you Sectars. God damn it. What if I wasn't so weird? All right. What were you saying, Cole? Save me.
Well, the interesting thing is, I think it was during the Dark Horse years of having the Star Wars license. They did Star Wars Infinities, which were kind of Star Wars What If.
Okay.
And they did the ones for, I think, A New Hope, and, like, you know, just changing enough where things went in an entirely different direction. Then they did one for Empire Strikes Back, so it was presumably nothing changed in A New Hope. And, at the end of one, Vader is suddenly outfitted with a white costume a la Doctor Doom going white when he's good.
Right. Hey, guess what else started in the early 90s? Elseworlds.
Oh, that's right. Yes, indeed. Expanding beyond simply doing a one-off What If, though most of the early Elseworlds were one-offs.
They were, yeah. But, you know, a lot of publishing houses definitely took their cue. I think this is a very important comic book. I think that a lot comes out of What If. I would postulate that the idea of multiple Earths in some way, shape, or form, that What If Comics was a component of that idea. The idea that, you know, in quantum mechanics, every decision you make is an offshoot that creates its own world. And Marvel's sitting over here, you know, churning out What If Nick Fury wore his patch on his left eye, and that creates a world where Nick Fury, you know, and so on and so forth and so on. I wish they wouldn't have drifted so far afield from the freedom they felt from What If, that they had to Heroes Reborn it, or,
yeah,
you know, let Scarlet Witch wipe out all of the, you know, whatever it, do House of M, whatever it was, you know, that House of M would have been a perfect What If.
Mm-hmm.
But conceptually, this begins the Neil deGrasse Tyson-esque exploration of what comics can be instead of what they always were, which is this linear storytelling, right? This idea that this story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And
yeah, and I think this would have given us something like, what if Wolverine's claws were made of bone?
What if Wolverine was from a race of lupine people dogs?
What if North Star and Aurora from Alpha Flight were fairy children?
What if Puck was a genie that was 8,000 years old?
Why don't we just do that instead of this ridiculous ignore everything that came before?
What if Captain America was an agent of Hydra? You know, these are things that you could have done and not. And I understand the compelling nature of creating a comic book that has, you know, a twist. That has that pretzel moment, you know, where the decision has to be made, something crazy has to happen, you have to do that, you know, and that decision leads to changes in your universe one way or another. Get it. Cool. Do it. That's drama. That's thrilling. That's compelling. Awesome.
Exactly.
But there are decisions that have been made, especially in Marvel Comics. DC's not. Listen, I'm looking at you, DC Shelf. You are not unguilty. You are.
No, that's true.
But Marvel has made some whack-ass decisions that might have been better explored through What If Comics. That's all I'm saying.
I do hope that the new What If is also, you know, precedent-driven.
Okay, what do you mean?
In that they don't feel like they like, let's just do a What If based on nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're going to do What If, base it on, like I said, you know, what if this secret invasion never happened? We'd all be a lot happier. but apparently, like, the, you know, what if Dazzler became a Herald of Galactus is actually based on Dazzler number 11.
Yeah.
And apparently the similar sort of thing was going on with the more contemporary What If, but to what level there was actually tie-in, I'm not really certain because I didn't really go in for that.
Well, they're definitely going against what they talked about doing previously, which is kind of disconcerting. There are two Spider-Man What Ifs. One of them is, what if Ben Reilly had been Spider-Man? That absolutely has a basis in continuity, and you can tell that story. The what if Spider-Man were the Punisher has me concerned. Because...
Yeah, I saw that one, and it's like, why would you necessarily dress as a Spider-Man?
But
you
my,
know, for one.
My concern with that is, what are you drawing? Because we read the rules, right? We read the rules. The rule is, make sure you're suggesting happened in actual events recorded in Marvel Comics. That's a rule. There was never a time when Spider-Man was the Punisher. The closest thing you get from that is Ben Reilly got killed by a criminal. Punisher's family got killed by a criminal, and they both live in New York. There's no precedent set for this to happen, which is disconcerting to me.
Yeah. The only thing I can see is, well, in a way I can see Spider-Man becoming the Punisher. I think the costuming is a bit extraneous, and the seeming necessity to have, like, you know, wrist guns on the cover that I saw.
Yeah, wow. That's dumb.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I realize you're trying to make the connection there. But if you look at it from the standpoint of, okay, Uncle Ben gets croaked by a criminal, you know, Peter could have snapped and used his brilliant mind to and radioactive powers, and instead of making, like, web shooters, making, like...
Shooters.
Shooters.
That's funny. No, dude, it breaks the rules, right? There just isn't a precedent for it, and that sort of bothers me. But anyway, as we come up on the last part of this show, there are a few things that I did want to touch on outside of that. Namely, one of the cool things that they – I got to talk about this because number nine was – one of the cool things that they did in number nine in What If number nine was they brought in the Agents of Atlas. What if the Avengers had fought evil in the 50s is essentially the Agents of Atlas. Marvel Boy, whatever that stupid robot was, Venus. oh, God. I have a copy of What If the alien costume had possessed Spider-Man in one of these long boxes right here. I got to go through these things and find my What Ifs because I had so many. Also, the What If – if you can get your hands on a copy of What If Kraven the Hunter Killed Spider-Man, which – again, based in actual comics, but the cover is Milo Manara-like. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's all I'm going to say about that. But one thing I did want to talk about was you had What If. What If was very successful. I don't think anybody realized how successful What If was at the time, because unless you were reading trade mags, you didn't really get that kind of information. There wasn't the internet. But What If... a comic that was a spinoff of comics got a spinoff of itself, which was a parody called What the Comics. Cole, are you familiar with What the Comics?
I have a vague memory of What the.
Well, What the was brought in, I think, brought into the universe by the humor of one Dave Himbeck.
Of course.
Which we all know that Dave is a topic of one of our favorite topics here. We've talked about that quite a bit. And it's a humor comic. But it's a humor comic that was based on the ideas of What If. And I think that What the Comics, which was an heir apparent to Not Brand Eck. Was and you know gave a chance to do some funny stuff that you didn't get the real chance to do, but it also had, again, insane artists and writers involved. So number one had the Pulverizer, the Bauer Brats, Clunk and Dag Nabbit, the X-Persons, and the New Pubescence, and art and stories were done by guys like Terry Austin and Steve Ditko and Milgram. You had Byrne and you know, doing the Fantastical Four and Superb Man. Because they would go after DC. They would go after DC in these. And I think, if my math is right, and Cole, you're going to have to help me, was Byrne doing DC? When did Byrne stop doing Superman?
Wow. Let's see here. He took on the Man of Steel in the early 80s, if
yes.
memory serves. And I think he did Superman for at least a good few years, but I'm not really certain of the chronology, because I kind of came and went during that period, you know?
Well, I'm guessing it was before 88, because
probably
in 88, he did a parody of Superman in what the comics called Superbman. So that's what you're getting here, is you're getting a fanzine created by legitimate Marvel creators. And Himbeck was absolutely involved. God, the names associated with this are insane. Issue 4, you had Byrne, Busick, David, and Himbeck. Issue 5, which is the Pulverizer versus Wolverine. And you had Larson, Eric Larson, you had Terry Austin, Jim Lee, Chuck Dixon, We can do that the rest of the show, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, that's we're gonna do a special.
But
us going.
It went 26 issues, Cole.
That's amazing.
If you haven't read them, they're so much fun. They remind you of being 8 years old and reading a comic book and just not giving a shit. Like, do you remember when we didn't give a shit? Do you remember when we let Marvel do a parody of Lone Wolf and Cub for shit's sake?
Yeah, well, you know, there was a different time then.
It was a different time. Oh, my God. Yeah, so we got to start wrapping this up already.
Yeah, I know. We're actually running low here.
Give me some final thoughts or some issues that we might have missed. I know you've been doing research like I have of What If, what do you think is going to happen with these comics as they come out? I guess is my real question.
I think what we're looking at is a tremendous opportunity for comic fans, for fandom to really embrace the idea of What If, and maybe Marvel bring it back as a running title instead of a, you know, What If Elektra, What If Punisher, What If Squirrel Girl. I would rather see it become a running book that, done right, and Marvel owes me dick, by the way, so I don't expect any traction on this whatsoever, but done right, what you could look at, what you could see happening here is, what if the Kree Skrull War came to Earth?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
You know, go back and, in so doing, encourage people to check out the damn classics.
That's yeah, because you have the ability to reference back to some things.
And you put it back in a glad-handing sort of way. Ask your retailer to order, you know, Avengers Assemble Volume 3 or what have you. I don't know what the hell they're titling. Reprints.
2.9579er.
But the bottom line is, it's a fucking big marketing opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
I hate to encourage that sort of crap, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to discourage it, because it could be something really big for retrofitting comics, getting people interested, because, you know, the kids, they like the vinyl and the 8-tracks and their cassette tapes. They're bringing back the stuff Grandpa had.
They really are.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of people who now are using quartz radios to tune in the one station in their area.
I hope that's true. I know that it is. I think you might be gaslighting me, but I hope it's true.
You may never know.
Now I got to get a quartz radio, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Radio Shack has like a kit.
I bet they do. I should run down there after we're done recording and see.
You go do that. might actually make it. It's still early enough even there.
To the Radio Shack.
The Radio Shack, yeah. Sure. And they'll get you all set up with that crystal radio, and you're good to go.
Damn it, Cole. No, I'm really, really excited. I just hope they can capture some of the magic that of what they had. And I think you're absolutely right when you could bring about ownership of some of the old stories again. Some of the things that you might have quote unquote written out of continuity. Some of the things that are really, really cool that nobody knows of. Things like there's a lot of Infinity War, Infinity Stones. There are a ton of stories that you could what if from those. Galactus stories, you know, Starlin's Warlock and Puck and the original Drax the Destroyer and the original Gamora.
Was it Pip the Troll?
Pip the Troll was hanging out around there.
Like, what if Wood God was relevant again?
Look it up, kids.
It really was a Marvel character called Wood God.
What if Wood God was Groot?
I just want to see me some Wood God again.
Just somewhere. I'm surprised, frankly. Not that this is a part of the topic, but I think the topic is essentially over. I'm frankly surprised that with all of the Thanos, Infinity Stone, cosmic Starlin-esque shit that's going on, that we haven't seen a Wood God make an appearance.
I think it's just a matter of time, and they need to get the Mr. Tumnus guy.
James McAvoy?
Holy shit, that was McAvoy?
That was McAvoy.
Good God almighty, I didn't make the...
Yeah,
that was I've McAvoy. Just been Trevored.
You've been Trevored. It was there. You'll never see James McAvoy coming.
Because McAvoy literally knows how to dance around on his tiptoes and have satyr, you know, goat legs added in post.
Also, I meant that literally.
They did the same thing with Professor X.
McAvoy becomes invisible when he ejaculates, so you will literally never see him coming. Yeah, but you didn't know that about him either, did you?
Yeah, I did not realize. That's an amazing power, too.
He's probably been in your room for hours.
What the hell just happened? Or did you go? I mean, there's something going on there, but you left.
Do you know?
And now you're back.
And I heard
now that it's too late. Yeah. It's not like he becomes sound invisible.
I heard we're the future, Charles, not them. And then you reappeared. I didn't know what that was. Yeah. That's Ian McKellen. I know. I just keep it. That's the only way I can get off.
That's how he orgasms. Mm-hmm. Is he channels McKellen?
Now I wish that. Ian McKellen had a son, and his name was Channels McKellen, or a Scotch named Channels McKellen.
I'm not a drinker, but I would drink Channels McKellen.
I've seen you.
My soul drinks are the Channels McKellen, the Amaretto Sour, and of course. You know where this is going.
I'm waiting. I'm sitting here waiting.
The Jason Mimosa.
That's right. Speaking of the
Jason Mimosa, by the way, is like a regular mimosa with grenadine to represent the blood of his enemies.
That's nice. And a seaweed garnish.
Yeah.
That's the Jason Mimosa.
Like some of that like sheet seaweed, only it's like rolled up like one of those little cookies that has the chocolate in the middle.
I thought you were going to make a man shih tzu joke for a second, but you didn't.
Oh,
you said sheet seaweed, yeah. And I thought that this was going I didn't know where it was going, but I thought it was going.
If you eat a lot of sushi, that's what happens.
God damn it. All right, that's enough. We're going to plug this show up now.
But at least I finally got the show ender at the end of the show for a damn change.
We didn't have to stop the show 10 minutes in because Cole nailed it that early. It's time to go home. All right, plug us up so we can expect to have some sheet seaweed, will you?
That's right. Well, we're, of course, coming to you from sheetseaweed.com.
Oh, God, that
would be great. We are coming to you from the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUMail@Yahoo.com. You can find me the first and third Sundays of every month live streaming in video gloriousness if you just really want to ruin your Sunday morning on the first and third Sundays of every month at DallasOnAir.com. We you know, God bless you, Jedi Jansen, who has just absolutely loves the show. We found out that there are a lot of shows that want our time slot, and he's just telling them, too bad. So we're on the first and third Sundays of every month from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Central, and on the third Sunday of every month, you can find my relatively new show, because it's only just a little over a year old, Isle of Toys, A-I-S-L-E, Isle of Toys, on the third Sundays of every month from, I'm sorry, we're on the Ranker Pit, is 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Isle of Toys is 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. on the third Sunday of the month. So disregard everything. just check us out over there at DallasOnAir.com with myself and the incredible Eddie Medina on the Rancor Pit live.
That's right. And...
Man, there's more.
Yeah, you can find us on the social networks over at the HK Comics Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Like sheets of seaweed.
And you can find our sheet seaweed recipes over on jasonmimosa.com coming soon.
We're about to I'm going to go and watch some reruns of Chopped so I can figure out what one does with sheet seaweed, and we'll just steal those recipes.
You flush it. That's what you do. Oh, God. What do we even know what we're doing next week?
I had an inkling at one time, but so much has been rearranged.
I know. We'll figure it out.
This was one of the episodes from this year that wasn't scheduled 15 years ago.
Yeah, I know. You pushed it up, and I couldn't be more grateful for that because I love it. I love
something
back.
I don't even know what the hell issue we're on anymore, but we're getting very close to This Is Sparta.
We are,
and we are going to do the entire episode wearing nothing but leather thongs.
We weren't supposed to be through the first 285 and 299 in nothing but leather thongs.
Well, that meant both of us this time
in the same thong.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, good.
We're going to get half of it. And it'll be kind of like the Batman cowl half.
I call the right half.
Damn you. It'll be like the Batman cowl half of composite Superman's costume.
Oh, yes.
Only more genitalia adjacent.
Right. All right, everybody. Bye, collect, enjoy your comics. Thank you for listening. We are coming up on 300, and we just have more and more awesome stuff coming in the works in the coming years. Yes, you heard right. We have this show plotted for years.
Yes, indeed. We are well into 2021.
That's nuts.
And, of course, there's a hell of a lot of things that we don't even know yet that will become shows, like damn Marvel movies and shit and shows that have yet to be announced. Like isn't there like some kind of Marvel like girl show in the works now that they think may be based on A-Force?
Well, there's a streaming service that they've announced now where they're going to have at least a Scarlet Witch – a Loki series, and those series are going to be based on they're going to star Hiddleston and the one that plays the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
The actual stars, yeah, they're going to play them in the TV shows. So Lord only knows it's coming from Marvel. DC has their service, which has dropped, and I have subscribed to. nothing really has come out for it yet, besides the stuff that's pre-existing. But it's going to have that Titans show. It's going to have that Swamp Thing live action show. It's going to have the Doom Patrol live action show. So the Tanzanite Age continues, Cole.
Oh, it's just insane. The Tanzanite Age has crept into television.
It absolutely, yeah. It's now a Tanzanite television age. If it was a Tanzanite movie age prior, it has small ice aged itself into the world of television for sure. Because between Netflix, which you still need to watch season 3 of Iron Fist.
I'm actually, we're fairly far into season 3 of Iron Fist. We've seen a lot of feels going on. Wade and, what's her name? We've seen the brother and sister having issues. We've seen Mary getting revealed. We've seen Davros from Doctor Who take on the Iron Fist power.
Oh, so he's got the power. Now
he's
got
the power. Oh, spoiler alert.
Now it gets interesting, man. Yeah. Now it gets really... It was all a build-up, and I liked the build-up. I liked the drama. I really did. I like what they're doing with Typhoid Mary a lot.
Let me tell you, I'm patently unfamiliar with Typhoid Mary, but they've done... One of the things I really loved was the how their cinematographer is playing... Mm-hmm. on that kind of half Joker face that mm-hmm. she has in the comics.
Well, and it's also, they've done a great job of making her relentlessly creepy.
Oh, the actress, you know, this is probably something for a different show when we talk about Iron Fist.
Why not? We're done with the show. We're just talking now. We're just letting people hear what we do after the show. So, no, yeah, the actress is phenomenal, but wait, Cole, just the last 3 episodes make worthwhile.
I'm going to have to gauge that so I'm not like, you know, starting at 11 o'clock.
Oh, God. And the last 3 minutes of this season, I told you I dropped a cat. I was holding the kitten, watching the show, standing up, just holding it as the show came to an end.
I want to point out that this is the sort of thing that usually goes on before and after the show. So
you're getting it. I don't care.
You're getting a rare glimpse behind the curtain. I know we do that occasionally.
We haven't recorded for like a week and a half, so I'm getting it all out there.
We're desperate for human contact.
Yeah. But I was holding the kitten, watching it. The show ends, right? Basically, this is sort of like, there's sort of like an after credits. It's not really, but there's an obvious stopping point. The season is over. Boom. Stopped. And then I'm watching it, and I stand up to go kind of turn off stuff, and then it starts back up again. In that 3 minutes, I just dropped the cat. I was just like, oh, okay. I'm glad you land on your feet, because that would have been real bad. Yeah, that's it. All right, you're right. We need to let people go. So,
yeah, I mean, good thing you weren't like holding a fish tank or something at the time.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. A box of knives. I carry one of those around periodically. All right, Cole, say good night to the people.
Good night, everybody, and read, enjoy, and just put sheets of seaweed and everything.
I guess
use them
so.
As bookmarks.
What if all food was sheet seaweed? All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.